Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Amo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. Glad to have you on the show on a special day. Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this episode on a special day, Friday night edition. On today's show, we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament and all the craziness that is March Madness. Give you my final four predictions. I'll also talk to you about the Knicks, who they should draft in the pick, and how one of them did an awesome performance. And also talk about the Mets and the Yankees, as they both have first baseman battling out. You know, we'll share our thoughts who we think should be starting on both teams. And also, you know, ended off with a little WWE, you know, a little cap of, you know, this week in WWE and how it pertains to Kofi Kingston. But most importantly, you know, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let's talk about March Madness, man. And Mac, man, what you thinking about this March Madness so far, man? We've had some awesome performances by Morant, who you know, who's rumored to be the second pick, might even be the first pick. He had a triple double for Murray Hill yesterday. I mean, what's your thoughts on this whole, you know, March Madness so far?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's pretty exciting. You know, I was watching the Duke North Dakota game, and Zion is a real deal. This guy made his March Madness debut, had 25 points, dominated in the second half. He had one play where he stole the ball, put the ball behind his back, and ended up dunking it. I mean, this guy is a phenom. We haven't seen a phenom like this since LeBron James. You know, and
yeah,
this guy dominates. Like he dominates the game and pretty much just kills the other team's confidence. You know, that's how good he is right now. And you know, once he got rolling, you know, Duke went on a run and North Dakota couldn't get up any shot, and they ended up blowing them out tonight. I think the score was, let me see. I'll give you the score here. It was 85-62 was the final score tonight.
They beat him a battle.
Yeah, they gave him a baton. Mm-hmm. Beating. Mm-hmm. The baton people means Haitian beating. Or just beating. But yeah.
You got your little crowd there. So you learn something other than sak passe, mabule. Hello, or what's up? How you doing? Or I'm fine. So we gave you a little impromptu Haitian
yep.
Creole lesson right there. But he's definitely solidifying the spot, man. He's definitely showing why, you know, he's proving people wrong that said he should have, you know, sat out the rest of the year in the NCAA tournament, you know, because of the, you know, the injury he had.
Yeah.
And he's proving them wrong right now.
Yeah.
As Duke advance.
Yeah, and Duke, they're looking unstoppable right now, you know. So right now they'd be my pick to win it all.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you my pick momentarily, you know. My final four pick, and you could give me your final four pick as well.
Sure.
But Yeah, it's definitely been exciting, and I don't know if you know, this is the 80th anniversary of today, but March 27th, next week, is going to be the 80th anniversary of the first NCAA tournament final.
Wow, it's a long time.
I believe it was. Yeah, it was Oregon defeated Ohio State 46-33.
Wow, that's crazy.
But yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Williamson, he had 25 points, 3 rebounds, and Barrett had 26 points and 14 rebounds, 3 assists. You're not playing. You're not playing, man. These boys are not playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these guys really want to come to the Knicks.
Yeah, they got a good team, man. I really like their team.
Mhm. Yep. But yeah, I guess we're gonna dive into our Final Four. Here's who I think is the Final Four. It's gonna be Duke defeating Louisville in the Elite Eight. And Duke's going to be facing Gonzaga over Michigan. And let me see. And I haven't checked out all the scores, so, because there's some games going on right now. But this is what I thought from before. So. And so it's going to be Duke versus Gonzaga. And then Villanova over Kentucky. And North Carolina, let me see. Let's see. Oh, North Carolina. Duke. Oh, wait. Let me see. Duke over Gonzaga. And Villanova over, I think it's Tennessee. I think I wrote the wrong thing. Right. But, yeah, the final two is going to be Duke versus Kentucky.
Duke versus Kentucky.
Mhm. And then the champion will be Duke. Duke for the sixth time winning their title and their first title since 2015.
Yeah, it could happen. You know, that could happen right now. Man, I think the Final Four will be Duke from the East.
Mm-hmm.
West, it'll be Michigan. Michigan already advanced. They beat yesterday. They beat Montana. From the South, I think it'll be Virginia. And for the Midwest, I don't know. It could be North Carolina or Kentucky. One of those two. I'm gonna go with North Carolina.
Yeah, that was tough.
You know, I'll go North Carolina for the Midwest. Then I think Virginia, North Carolina. I think Virginia beats them, and then Duke will beat Michigan, and then you have Duke and Virginia. So I'm going to say Duke and Virginia will be your championship game, and then I'm picking Duke to win it all.
All right. So you.
I wouldn't be surprised if Virginia wins it. Virginia only has 3 losses on the year, so they're very good. But Duke right now, man, they're looking unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And hopefully, most importantly, as them winning the championship would be them being drafted number one by the Knicks.
Yeah.
And as you know, Knicks, you know, they definitely took care of business. And when I mean take care of business, I mean lose badly. 111-93. But Kevin Knox, man, after he got that pep talk from LeBron James, right after, you know, the Knicks whooped LeBron James after Super Mario Hazonia, man, he channeled his inner Dikembe Mutombo with that block.
Oh, man. That was the highlight of the next season right there.
Oh, it was, man. I wish I saw the whole game because of that, man. I was out, you know. Yeah. But, man, just that dunk alone, man, that was the highlight of the whole year right there.
Oh, yeah.
Beating the Lakers and then on top of that beating LeBron James too, which rarely happens. When he's facing the Knicks, I mean, come on, like
that was the
that's
best.
A That was awesome, man. He blocked him with like 2 seconds left in the game, and man, that saved the game right there.
Yeah.
And then right after that, LeBron had the chat, the private chat with Kevin Knox, telling him that he's gonna, you know, he has the potential to be a special player, and you know Kevin Knox said that, you know, he studied Kevin Knox stats and stuff like that. So yeah, man, Kevin Knox really took it to heart, man. He I think he has back-to-back games with like 27 points.
Wow.
Including today, man. He did it, man. Let me see what he had.
But the Knicks didn't win still, right?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, that's
– Yes.
You know,
they have to lose.
Marv Albert mode. Yes.
Yeah. We need that lottery pick, man.
Yup. Got to solidify that bottom five spot,
yep,
with the worst losing record. Mitchell Robinson, he's been doing his thing too. You know, he's just setting, you know, a Knicks rookie record. He set 29 a few days ago, in the past couple of games, like I think it was the past three games or so, which surpassed Patrick Ewing. And then he added three more block shots today. He had a double-double to be accurate today. He had 16 points, 10 rebounds, and three block shots today, man. This kid, man, he's doing it, man. That's a keeper right there.
Wow, this dude, man, he's been blocking more shots than Instagram models block my DMs. This guy's phenomenal.
That's a joke of the year right there, man. That's a joke.
This dude is awesome. He is like Mutombo almost.
Yeah, man. He's doing it, man. Willis Reed was speaking to him. I think the game before that. You know, while they were, you know, they're still in New York, and man, he's doing his thing, man. Like, I mean, there's
potential.
A lot of potential. And that's another thing I love about David Fizdale. Even though the Knicks have a losing record, man, this guy, I think once you put a good team around him, you're gonna see what a good coach this guy is. Because one thing I love about Fizdale is that he embraces the Knicks past. You know, he get Nick legends to come back. You know, to teach the players, whether it's Patrick Ewing or Camby,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think other, but he had a bunch of Knicks legends and other NBA Hall of Famers like J Kidd just popped up, even though obviously he had a cup of coffee with the Knicks, but you know, he's a all time great point guard. You know, he had him come and coach the point guards minus Nilikina, who made his return back from groin injury, played 25 minutes. But he only scored 5 points on 1 of 6 shootings. He had 5, but yeah, he still doesn't have his Nick, like his how could I put it? Like, he hasn't had a signature Nick game all season.
Yeah.
So, you know, he needs to step it up, because you know. But I don't know, how many games we have? Like 9 games left? I don't know. 9 or 10 games? I don't even remember.
Yeah, season's pretty much done. I mean, season's been done for a while.
Yeah, he really got to show something. He got to put up more points and more assists. You know what I'm saying? Like, the assists should be a given. I mean, he has God-given abilities to average 10 assists, you know, if he just works hard at it, you know, and learn more of the game. You know, and he just needs to have more confidence in his shooting. You know,
he just needs to have more confidence overall. I mean, sometimes it feels like he's just walking in mud sometimes.
Mhm. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I mean, this guy should be better than how he's playing.
Exactly. Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. And yeah. Just another Nikola. I mean, Moutier, he had 21 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. And Dennis Smith Jr. still hurt. But, yeah. good performances by some of the guys, but, you know, it's another Nick loss. They're going to play Sunday, Spurs, at noon. But, you know, winning is not the name of the game right now. As sad as it is to be a Knicks fan over 20 years, you know, they gotta tank. It goes against our nature.
Yeah.
You know, it goes against the Knicks' DNA to tank.
We need Zion.
Yep, we need that Zion Williamson, man. Or even Jay Morant. What was I going to say? Or RJ Barrett. But, yeah, Zion, man, that's the guy we got to get. But some old footage from 2 years ago surfaces that pops the air in the balloon of the dream team that the Knicks desperately need. And we all know who's the key ingredient in that possible Knicks dream team. And, of course, you know who I'm talking about. And that's looking for a response from you, Mac.
Oh, you're looking for a response from me?
Yeah. Who is the most important person that the Knicks need to get in this offseason?
Oh, yeah. KD, Kevin Durant.
Exactly. And remember, yeah. I've said in the past that, you know, he said that there's no way he's going to go to the Knicks. You know, he's even said on the Twitter, I think he even tweeted it out a few years ago, too. Well, there's some new footage, well, I should say old footage, that resurfaced. And basically, someone asked him if he was going to play for the Knicks 2 years ago. I guess this is when he was, when he was a free agent before he signed with the, when he signed with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he said never, as in he would never sign with the Knicks. So that's another, he smiled and said never. So things can change from 2 years.
Yeah.
Look at Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Le'Veon Bell said
exactly.
They're going to have to give $100 million for him to sign with the Jets. And, you know, Jamal Adams, you know, courted him well. And his situation with Steelers, you know, was horrible, you know, to the point he'd even bother playing and just held out that whole year. So, I mean, things could change. I mean, could Durant come? Only until at least July 1st we'll know for sure. But I don't know. Once a player says they don't want to come, that's scary, you know.
Yeah, that's
– you don't want a guy who don't want to come here to come for the money. But I guess we'll see what happens in a few months, you know, because Durant, if they don't get Durant, they just need to save the money. It's not even worth it, man, because anybody else –
like Jimmy Butler –
Jimmy Butler, as much as I like Jimmy Butler and trying to remember his name, the dude from UConn who's on Hornets. I'm trying to remember his name. The dude's clutch. I can't remember his name for whatever reason.
Oh,
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'm forgetting his name also.
Why can't I? This is ridiculous. I never forget his name, but I'm forgetting it now. Oh my goodness, I'm kicking myself right now. Soon the show's over, I'm going to remember.
Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll be so PO'd at myself if I remember after the show's over about Kemba Walker's name. But yeah, if they just sign Kemba Walker or Jimmy Butler, I mean, that's going to be – and overspend for them? Come on, that's going to set the Knicks back again.
Yeah.
So they got to – is Durant – Durant or bust. If you get Durant, that then you could open up the paycheck. You could, if you want, do a trade for Anthony Davis. You know what? I would say wait 2 years for him. I wouldn't trade anybody because you're gonna break up this team, and they're gonna want Robinson. They're gonna want Knox. You know, so I would say wait for Davis if he wants to come. But then again, you have Robinson, who's developing. You could sign DeAndre Jordan on the cheap. You know, so I think you get Durant, the possibility is endless for whoever is going to be his sidekick. He chooses who his sidekick is going to be. So
yeah.
that's the most important thing. They need to get Durant. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Well,
I guess let Jamal Adams, like he said, he was going to try to court them. Let him do it.
Well, like you said, if they don't, then they need to save that money. Don't spend
the
it
money
right away.
Save it.
Mm-hmm.
And or if they want, hire the Will Puns. Hire the Will Puns.
No, that's a bad idea.
Well, seriousness, man. They just need to save the money. Save the money. That's it. If they can't get Durant, it's Durant or Bus.
Yeah.
But, yeah, moving along. Yeah, moving on to the Mets. Yeah, the Mets, you know, they've showed some promise in this spring training. Yes, I know it's spring training. But the most important thing about spring training are people trying to make the club. The guys like Jacob deGrom, Syndergaard, Mats, you know, Wheeler, you don't really care what those guys are going to do because, you know, hey, their position is set. They're going to tinker and experiment on some things, you know, to try to make themselves better for the season. I mean, with DeGrom's, you can't get any better than that. I mean, even if DeGrom has another all-star year, he's not going to have a .70 ERA. I mean, there's a 1% chance that would happen, you know.
Yeah.
But DeGrom, you know, the Mets got to sign him, re-sign him to that extension because MLB is not playing. MLB is not playing anymore. They're not waiting for their guys to go to free agency because the free agents are seeing how Dallas Keuchel is still a free agent. It took Bryce Harper and Manny Machado to sign, like, what was it, earlier this month or late last month? I can't even remember. Probably was late last month. It's been a while. I can't even remember.
I think Harper was this month earlier.
Yeah, these players are not playing anymore because they're like, man, these owners, they're not, they're taking too long to give the money. So now these guys are signing. You know, you got Trout signing a ridiculous 12 years, $435 million contract or $430 million. I mean that's ridiculous. Like the Bryce Harper one is like video game like, but. Don't get me wrong. Trout is an awesome player. You know, back-to-back MVP. I mean, this guy, you know, he's the future of MLB right there. You know what I mean? But, jeez, did they have to give him that much? I mean, okay, they want to give him more, but they had to give him 100 more than Bryce Harper? Harper better like Philly cheesesteak over there. and hustle every play of the game. Or else he's going to hate being in Philadelphia because Philadelphia fans will let him hear it.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah, if you're not hustling, Philadelphia fans will let you know. I don't think you want that. He should come out to – what are you going to say?
No, I'm saying that he's going to have to live up to that contract. So he's going to have monster – he's going to have to put up monster numbers.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I think he only came to the Phillies, you know, for the money. Because he took forever to sign that contract. Because there was whispers that other teams like Giants and you know, Dodgers were interested, among other teams were interested, but they didn't want to give all that money and the length. And I think he sold with Philadelphia. But, you know what I mean, it's not a bad move on his case. You know, if he plays hard, you know, it's going to be a great move for him because, you know, that's a talented team. That ballpark was made for him. So, if he shows up and he's fully motivated as he seems that he is, even though he did say that he wants to bring the title back to D.C., even though he signed with the Philadelphia Phillies, you know. But, you know, if he's fully motivated, prove everybody wrong, you know, if he just wins one title in Philadelphia, that contract's worth it. But if he doesn't, 13 years is going to be a long time to get booed in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So he better, I mean, he's been on national, so he knows what it's like to be booed in Philadelphia, but there's nothing worse than getting booed in Philadelphia if you're a home player.
Yeah.
If they could boo Mike Schmidt, shoot, they will not. If he goes 0 for 8 to start the season, yo, he's going to hear it.
It's not going to be good.
This dude better hit for get the triple crown and bring him to the championship for him to be a Philadelphia darling over there.
Well,
and he better be following.
and he better be following Philly Fanatic on all social media. And he'll be in the good graces. He'll be in the good graces with the Philadelphia fans. But, yeah, but moving back to the Mets, there's a battle between Pete Alonso and Dominic Smith, who should be the starting first baseman, because they're both trying to compete to make the club. Pete Alonso, he made the strongest case. You know, he's been the hottest Met at the plate. But the problem is that the Mets have a stipulation. If they keep him down for at least, I think, 2 weeks, they'll have an extra year of control with him. But Brody Van Wagenen promised before the season started, before spring training started, if he performs well in the spring training, he'll make the club. You know, his contract situation won't be a deterrent for him to start opening day on Thursday. But now Dominic Smith is playing well as well. And Dominic Smith was the first baseman of the future prior to last year when Pete Alonso was hitting, like, what, 36 home runs in the minor leagues and then I think 6 home runs in the AFL. So Pete Alonso, man, he's been killing it, you know. So Pete Alonso, if everything's equal, Pete Alonso should be starting. And I would even propose, even though Dominic Smith is a better defender, and Pete Alonso has, from what I've heard, greatly improved on his defense, they should start Pete Alonso at first and even put Dominic Smith in the outfield in one of the corners, whether it's left or right. Probably left, you know, Conforto and right. You know, and then have Nimmo, who's been crushing it in, you know, spring training as well. He had 2 home runs on Thursday. You know, that should be the starting three. And then you have Keon Broxton and Legarris off the bench, guys who have great defense. So that's how I would configure the team. Well, who you think should start at first?
I guess Alonso. You know, that's the guy. I mean, that's the best. That's the best hitter for that position, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Alonso. I don't know much about his numbers, you know, but I'm guessing I'd go with you on starting him. The Yankees have something similar, and they have a similar situation with their
Greg Bird
and Luke Voit.
Yeah,
and right now
perfect
both
segue.
Of them. Yeah, both of them are playing real well in spring training right now, but. Ultimately, it's probably going to be Luke Voit because he has more power, and he showed last year that, you know, he fits better in this lineup than Craig Bird does.
I'm with you. And another thing is Greg Bird has been injury prone. I mean, Yankee Stadium was built perfectly for Greg Bird, but he just can't stay healthy. And Luke Voit, man, he's been the Yankees version of Brock Holt, you know. So they gotta foster that young talent. He's hungry, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you. They gotta play Alonso with the Mets has to start Alonso, and the Yankees have to start Voit.
Yeah, agreed.
And those two guys could be in the home run derby for all we know.
Hey,
it's coming
here. I hear the home run derby this year. The winner gets $1 million. Is it $1 million? I think.
Yeah, I think I heard something like that.
Yeah, so big money is on the line this year.
Mm-hmm. But for them, it might be Trump change.
True.
But then again, they're rookies, so, you know, a lot of these rookies, well, not rookies, but, you know, young guys in the league, they haven't had their big contract yet, so.
Right.
$1 million might be
$1 million.
So enough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, let's see about that. Oh, one more thing about the Tom Seaver thing. Mets, you know, they're gonna make some announcements in June when they're celebrating the 69 team. And from what I'm hearing is that basically they're gonna rename The City Field's address, I think it's what, 126 Roosevelt something Avenue or something like that, or street or whatever. They're going to rename it 41 Seaver Way or something like that. So, and then they're going to finally build the statue that Mets fan has been clamoring since City Field opened a decade ago, 2009. The rumor is that they're going to unveil the statue next year in 2020. So congratulations to the New York Mets. That is the icing on the cake. That is what City Field was missing. You had to have a statue of Tom Seaver at City Field. That was well deserved and non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
That goes without saying. You know, so kudos to the Mets, you know, on doing that. That's a well-deserved honor. And it's sad that Tom Seaver, you know, because of his dementia, he won't be there in person. But, you know, hopefully he'll be watching at home, you know, when it gets unveiled next year. And, of course, you know, the 1969 celebration, you know, in June, this June. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Lastly, WWE, the road to WrestleMania. And what a road it is. You got Kurt Angle announcing his final match. And who is his final match going to be against? Baron Corbin.
So disappointing.
I mean, I heard that it's a swerve, and I'm guessing it is a swerve. Most likely it's going to be John Cena or a legend. The rumor most likely is going to be John Cena because, you know, John Cena started his career versus Kurt Angle in, you know, Kurt Angle's open challenge. I think, what was it, 2002 when that happened on SmackDown?
Right.
So to have that symmetry, you know, John Cena debuted against Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle should and have his career ended by John Cena.
That's a good point.
That would be the best opportunity because Cena's going to be at WrestleMania, but he has no opponent. Kurt Angle is going to supposedly fight Baron Corbin, and he picked them. Like, I mean, come on. WWE could have did a better job with that. They could have had Baron Corbin attack him to force some WrestleMania moment. Kurt Angle's like, you're not in my league or whatever, you know. You're not on that level yet. And then, you know, Baron Corbin just keeps attacking him, and then he gets PO'd, and then he says, you know, all right, fine, I'll challenge you. Kind of like what Bautista did with Triple H when he attacked Ric Flair. Yeah. That's how they should have did it. Not Kurt Angle choosing out of all the people he could choose for his final match, and then he chose Baron Corbin? I mean, come on. I wouldn't choose him even in a Raw pre-show match. I mean, this guy stinks, man. And them putting him on TV all the time, man. This guy has more airtime than anybody who's not a McMahon on Raw. So, I mean, it's just beyond me how WWE just keeps forcing him down our throat.
Yeah, we're all tired of him already. I mean, I don't know why they keep showing his face on TV. Like,
it's done. And then he has an alliance where he's the weakest link.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Bobby Lashley should stop helping him out because when he needs when Bobby Lashley need Drew McIntyre and Corbin's help, they're never around. It's always Leo Rush who's helping him.
Right.
I mean, come on. Like, it just shows you right there the state of WWE. And then afterwards, now you have Kofi Kingston, you know, as expected. He went through the gauntlet. He defeated Randy Orton. He defeated Rowan, the Bar. Rowan, and some more Joe. And as soon as he wins the gauntlet at the end of the show, as I suspected and feared, Vince McMahon came out and congratulated him, and of course added one more person to the match, which of course I knew. As soon as Vince McMahon came out, he was going to add one more person, and that one more person would be Daniel Bryan. And, of course, Daniel Bryan beat him. So Daniel Bryan will be facing himself at WrestleMania. Because that don't make no sense, man. Like, come on, man. This was the perfect time for them to for him to win it. Like, win it, have him on the road to WrestleMania, and then just build up that, you know, Daniel Bryan just keep berating him and calling him a B-plus player, like Triple H called him on the road to WrestleMania and WrestleMania 30. So what is Kofi Kingston going to do? Have a occupation movement just like Daniel Bryan had a few years ago when they forced him into WrestleMania? Is that what they're going to do? Because the storyline is totally paralleling Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania 30 run.
It is very similar.
I mean, come on, like, this should have been the perfect opportunity. He beat all five of the guys. What more? I mean, come on, like, what more could they do that would make it legitimize that he had, you know, he got another number one contender? Like, is he going to go full heel and attack Vince McMahon or something? Like, I can't foresee a logical scenario that will make him win the opportunity he never lost a month ago.
They're just playing with him right now.
It's just beyond logic. You know, like, I don't even know how they're gonna come up with an idea.
Well, you better get the shot. You better get that shot.
I know.
Or else I'm not gonna watch it.
For real. Like, or they might. For all we know, they might even make him get the shot at WrestleMania, the day of WrestleMania. You know, and surprise people, because this is being dragged on. That's why the world of WrestleMania is so crazy. Ever since the whole Fastlane pay-per-view event, they've been stretching out feuds. Becky Lynch, got the number one contender at Royal Rumble. Then Vince McMahon took her out for no reason, and then inserted Charlotte, and then essentially she regained after she fooled Ronda Rousey to attack her at Fastlane, which made no sense because now she had, instead of a 50% chance of winning, now she has a 33% chance of winning. Doesn't make sense. And then now you got Kofi. He wows everybody at Elimination Chamber and proves that he gets the number one contendership. And then Vince pulls it out from under him, which makes sense because he was supposed to lose at Fastlane in place of Kevin Owens. So by switching him, now he's supposed to have a shot at WrestleMania. But we'll see what happens. And then this gauntlet that they had on Tuesday would have been the perfect chance for them to rewrite their wrongs and just go on the road to WrestleMania with the fans, you know, forgiving all the transgressions Vince has done, but now yet again he screws Daniel Bryan. I'd rather not Daniel Bryan, but Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're gonna do this week to ruin the storyline even further. I am just out of ideas. I don't know if Linda McMahon's gonna come out and, you know, like the Attitude Era and undermine Vince, or maybe it's Stephanie and Triple H since they're good guys, I guess, right now until Raw, because they just flip flop whether they're heels or baby faces within segments, as evident as Sting versus Triple H. Triple H was a heel, you know, then he shook his hands. You know, shook Sting's hand even though he cheated to beat him at Sting's only WrestleMania match. And then he became a heel again for the Ronda Rousey Rock segment, that pay-per-view. So who knows what's going on with Triple H and Stephanie. Right now they look like they're baby faces right now, but it could change in an instant.
No, talking about
and of
Ronda
course, you know,
Rousey.
Shane. Oh, yeah. Oh, right, she did attack, she attacked the security, and her husband attacked one of them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Ronda Rousey is finally being a heel, which is perfectly suited for her, you know, along with Charlotte Flair, because they're not good as baby faces, in my opinion. It just seems more natural. But you have any last things you'd like to say?
Check out my show, IMAC, Saturdays at Well, it returns Saturday at Israeli time at 10 p.m. And come back here, check out Spirits of Legend every Saturdays at 11. Only on Block Talk Radio.
You're the man. Check out both shows. And, of course, check out Sports Urban Legend TV on YouTube. And check out both shows. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rimmel. And I'll see you guys next time.